The sacred land, it has seen many hands, it has wealth and gold, yet it is fragile and old, and now the greedy souls just don't care to know of the changes it will confront. So speak out loud of the things you are proud, and if you love this coast, then keep it clean as it holds, cause the way that it shines may just dwindle with time, with the changes it will.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Shannon Moore, who's a progressive radio broadcaster in Anchorage, Alaska, who pioneered the political talk radio for women in the 49th state. Born and raised in Homer, Alaska, Shannon grew up hunting, commercial fishing, and living a rural lifestyle. And on a program, she has interviewed Alaska's political figures, including Sarah Palin, numerous times, as well as many others on the American political scene. She has an article at the Huffington Post, Exxon Spill, 25 Years of Tears. Welcome to Background Briefing, Shannon Moore.
Oh, it's lovely to be back with you. Thank you.
And it's lovely not to be talking about Sarah Palin.
Oh, Lord, help me. I know. I had Palin fatigue before any of you knew her name.
Well, I think that's maybe becoming contagious on the broader political landscape, at least one hopes. But
it's just a matter of time.
So the piece that you've written at the Huffington Post, Exxon Spill, 25 Years of Tears, is really touching because you were literally fishing in the neighborhood when you got the message about the Exxon Valdez running aground. And one of the things that struck me in your article was the initial response from your crewmates was, why don't the jet fighters at Elmendorf, the big Air Force base there, why don't they burn all this oil? Was that ever considered? Because clearly millions and millions of gallons spread and seeped into the ecosystem. On 1,300 miles of beaches were fouled. Was it a realistic prospect that you could have mitigated the spill by burning it?
Well, you know, it would have been really hard to ignite it because it's called mousse. It's this really thick, sick crude. But I think they could have done it, and it was discussed, certainly in higher levels than on my boat. But it was funny. I had asked one of our lawmakers at one point why it wasn't burned, and he said, oh, the environmentalists would have never let us do it. And I thought, are you kidding me? You know, to talk about bombing and torching all of that oil would have been a big hairy black cloud for a long time. But what it ended up doing was so much worse.
So you stayed in touch with the fishing industry in Sitka, which is the headquarters of the herring fishing, and it's not come back. There've been pods of whales that have literally disappeared, or of orcas, I should say. Give us a sense of you know, they show pictures, and I'm sure with this 25th anniversary, we'll be seeing some pictures. The place looks beautiful, but that's only on the surface. You know, you kick over a rock, and underneath there's still oil, right?
Right. Well, the herring fishery, basically, the herring travel up, you know, the Inside Passage of Canada and across and around Alaska and all the way up, you know, so where you can see Russia from your house. Where I was at in Sitka when it happened was at the beginning of that fishery. And it is still a vibrant fishery in Sitka, but it's a long way from Prince William Sound where this happened. But the Prince William Sound is what was completely devastated. And that herring fishery just, it doesn't exist at all. And it's just, it's never recovered in 25 years. And that was, you know, that was the thing that was so devastating for so many people in that area. I mean, before the Exxon Valdez happened, the town of Cordova never needed a women's battering shelter. They never needed, I mean, the drugs that came in, the alcoholism, the despair, like people had mortgaged their houses to buy their boats, and then there were no fish to catch. It was just this horrible cycle for years. And about three 3-4 years into it was when the suicides really started happening, and so there's so much that hasn't recovered there.
So what is then, you think, the coverage that we're going to be getting here? What is the anniversary? It was March the 24th, 1989.
Yeah, today is the 25th anniversary.
Right. So, frankly, I've not seen a lot. I guess people are still thinking about the BP disaster, but BP spent so much money on television propaganda suggesting that things were not only back to normal, if not better than they were before. So if you're still having ecological problems in Alaska and that otters who pick up a rock and find a clam underneath it are eating poisonous clams, this is still going on. What does it say about what we're going to be learning 25 years later about the Gulf of Mexico?
I really believe that, I mean, when I look at the technology that has changed since 1989, I wrote about this in my article, it was like, you know, I had a Mac SE Plus, right, in 1989. It was this 15-pound computer that, you know, had this, like, postcard-sized screen, and now, you know, we know what technology is able to accomplish. We're still using the same silliness, the same diapers and booms, and they just put people out there with steam cleaners, and they basically just push oil around, and everybody gets dirty, and everybody gets exposed to the carcinogens. But there has been no development in oil spill cleanup, and now they're, you know, talking about going into the Arctic, which is terrifying to me. But, you know, you don't know how to clean up an oil spill. No oil spill's been cleaned up. That's not the priority. The priority for them is a PR project. And they basically have decided that all of those fines that they're going to get, that's just part of the cost of doing business. They actually save money from not, you know, they cut corners and cut corners and cut corners, and it hasn't been damaging enough to them. They haven't lost enough profit from their mistakes yet. And so I don't think things are going to change. And I think that is what is so difficult and so bitter for Alaskans who are Exxon Valdez oil spill survivors, is that nothing was learned. And when we saw what happened with BP, it's like, okay, the first thing they're going to do is lie to you about how much oil there is. Then they're going to tell you it's safe. And then they're going to tell you they're going to take care of you, which will not happen. And then they're going to say, well, aren't you lucky we spilled near water? I mean, that's basically what they learned from Exxon, was how to run the clock out on people. And they did. I mean, it took us 20 years in court, and we got paid 10 cents on the dollar. So basically what they learned from Exxon Valdez spill was how to screw the people in the Gulf. And the next spill, they're going to have even more tactics figured out.
So Shannon Moore, again, progressive radio broadcaster in Anchorage, Alaska, who pioneered the political talk radio for women in the 49th state. You just mentioned drilling in the north of Alaska, in the Arctic there. And Alaska, of course, is the huge pipeline comes up there. There's the huge Prudhoe Bay and all of that wildlife reserve that's been contentious for years. But now they're moving into the offshore, deep into the Arctic. And this is, seems to me, just logically, you know, this is not a foolproof thing, that there's a, this not free of risk. And, you know, when you have a blowout like you did in the Gulf, just one oil rig blowout can cause the world's worst environmental pollution in history, which is what happened with the BP blowout. So what happens if something like that happens up in Alaska? There's nothing they can do about it, right?
You know, I've told people before, take a glass of water and put a little bit of oil in it. And then, you know, you can, like, take a paper towel and sort of get in there, and you won't get it all off the sides, but you'll get most of it out. Now put ice in the water and try to do that. It's clinging to the ice. It's over here. It's a mess. And, you know, the Coast Guard has said, we are not prepared to deal with a disaster in the Arctic. The Coast Guard does not have the resources. They do not have the manpower. In fact, the closest base, it was interesting. I was interviewing a senator about this from Alaska who is really, he's a Democrat, Mark Begich, totally gung-ho about it and about drilling there because that's Alaska, right? And you know, the president has okayed this, you know, that secret Muslim Kenyan, whatever, the worst socialist ever. And as far as I'm concerned on this issue, not a very good environmentalist, but they were all gung-ho for permitting. And I said, who's going to respond in a disaster? And he said, oh, the Coast Guard. And I said, from where? And he said, Kodiak. Well, Kodiak is an island with a huge Coast Guard base here in Alaska. I said, how far away do you think that is? He said, it's 1,000 miles. I said, no, it's 1,000 miles by air, but by boat, it's 2,200 miles. You would not, I mean, Seattle is closer than the Arctic is to that base. We would never ask Kodiak, Alaska to cover, you know, Northern California or off the coast of Oregon, but we're going to ask them to respond to something that's 2,200 miles away. It's ludicrous. So they are completely not prepared, and they're admitting it, and yet the permits have gone forward. So Russia is doing the same thing right now. They're drilling their Arctic. You know, that ecosystem is so incredibly precarious and precious. And, you know, you could fly over and maybe you wouldn't even see that it was spilling for a bit. I mean, it's just, they're not ready.
Well, interesting enough, ExxonMobil has, because Russia doesn't have the technical know-how to drill in the Arctic, they're turning to ExxonMobil, and this is the only deal that Putin's got going that looks as if it could keep him in the energy business, because Ukraine is likely to eventually wean the Europeans off Russian oil and gas. And then the Chinese have found ways to get around Russia by pipelines from the stands across to China. So Putin is putting all his eggs in the basket in terms of Russia's energy future by going after the Arctic oil, and he can't do it without help from Exxon.
Well, and, you know, I saw that Russia was removed from the G8 today. And, you know, they're going to do all of these sanctions, and they're going to lock up the assets of, you know, different dignitaries or business people there. But if they really wanted to get serious, they would, I think if they really wanted to get serious with Russia, they would do the same thing they did with Iran, you know, many years ago, which was like, you can't do business in Iran. That's part of the sanction. And of course, we know, you know, I think Halliburton broke that rule and went in. But, you know, and looking at that, it's like, if they wanted to get serious, they would do that. But nobody's going to, I don't see that happening. I think the scarier entity for politically for sure, would be to go after Exxon. I think they're more afraid of going after Exxon with that sanctions deal than they would be going after Putin. And he's got an army.
Well, you won't get an argument out of me that big oil is probably more powerful than big government.
I think it's synonymous.
Right.
I mean, look at the wars that we wage and for what. And, you know, we went into Iraq and now, you know, for them, you know, at the time they really wanted to get in there. Well, Saddam controlled the oil fields. He doesn't now, but Exxon, BP, and Conoco do. That's who's running the oil fields there now. It doesn't take, and now, like you mentioned, going into Crimea, I mean, that's very obviously an oil play.
So, Shannon Moore, again, a progressive radio broadcaster in Anchorage, Alaska, who pioneered the political talk radio for women in the 49th state. Just to return to this beautiful, pristine sound, the Prince William Sound, that was fouled 25 years ago by 11 million gallons of crude oil. And of course,
it was more than twice that many gallons, but that's what they reported it was.
I see. Yeah. So you can you can safely say 22 million gallons?
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, this was one of the last best places on Earth, as John Muir described it. How many times have you been back? Have you been back recently?
Oh, I've been back to the Sound quite a few. I was there last summer. I went out and did some work for the BBC there and after the BP disaster. And I, you know, traveled all the way to the outside and of the Sound and went to a beach there, and I walked across the beach, and I had to struggle because I didn't dig and see how far I had to dig to get the oil out. And my boot prints filled up with oil sheen, and within 60 seconds, there was the oil sheen just on my boot prints there on the beach. And that was really devastating to see that. Within 10 minutes, I was nauseous. I had this headache that you get from being exposed to the toxins that are all there. And, you know, I don't think people realize that the life expectancy of someone that worked on the Exxon Valdez spill is 51 years old. And what they were spraying and the chemicals they were using and that exposure, it's really, it's a dispersant. It disperses oil. Well, your brain is of a similar consistency. And it eats parts of your brain to be exposed to that. 51 is young. If we, you know, that's a young life expectancy. So, you know, at the time people would, you know, my friends working on the beaches would say, God, it is so awful. You come back to the boat and you urinate and it smells just like diesel. It's like, yeah, wear a respirator. You're not allowed. If you wear a respirator, you get fired. So it's the ramifications of an oil spill are just, I know what 25 years of ramifications do, and I don't know that I'm going to feel any more pleased in another 25.
Well, Shannon Moore, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Ian, thank you so much.
Again, I've been speaking with Shannon Moore, who is a progressive radio broadcaster in Anchorage, Alaska, who pioneered the political talk radio for women in the 49th state. Born and raised in Homer, Alaska, Shannon grew up hunting, commercial fishing, and living a rural lifestyle. On her program, she has interviewed Alaska's political figures, including Sarah Palin numerous times, as well as many others on the American political scene. And she has an article at the Huffington Post, Exxon Spill, 25 Years of Tears. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasts at ianmasters.com. We can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Took the kids to the park and disappeared.